at wildjam.com.
The Barney and Graham Shredder Wild Rodeo Boot Kickoff is the official start to Wild Rodeo Week, happening Tuesday, July 8th at Whitney Commons Park. Can't make it in person? No problem. Watch it live on ShredderMedia.com. Courtesy of Shredder Travel and Tourism. Festivities kick off at 5 p.m. with the always adorable stick horse races for kids up to age 8. Then get ready for the edge of your seat boot kicking competition for ages 9 and up. Space is limited to just 20 competitors per age group, and chamber bucks will be awarded. How far can those boots fly? Come find out in person or tune in to SheridanMedia.com so you don't miss a moment. It's all happening Tuesday, July 8th, Whitney Commons Park, 5 p.m. live stream brought to you by Sheridan Travel and Tourism and SheridanMedia.com. Let's get wild at the boot kickoff, your official Wild Rodeo boot kickoff party, proudly presented by Barney and Graham, LLC.
Think you've got serious bass skills? Then prove it. Connect Home Center and Century 21 BHJ Realty present Fish Your Bass Off on SheridanMedia.com. Snap and upload your best fishing photo for a shot at $600 in prizes. That's right. Fish all summer and show us your catches. Enter now on the contest page at SheridanMedia.com. So grab your gear, hit the water, and fish your bass off.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whitey.
Monday, June 30th, and from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, I'm joined by Sheridan County Democratic State Committeewoman, Tracy Sparks Campbell, and Sheridan County Democratic Vice Chair, Rob Davidson. Good morning, and welcome back to the show, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Now, you're here to talk about a very specific act that was put into place. Can you give us a brief history of House Enrolled Act number 57?
Yes, certainly. The House Enrolled 57, which was also HB 156 during the legislative session, is a bill that made some changes to the voter registration law in Wyoming. The previous law, which we're currently under, required people just to primarily present some ID, like a driver's license, in order to become registered to vote. The new law is adding residency requirements and citizenship requirements, which require additional documentation in order to become registered to vote. And that those requirements will go into effect tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So today is the last day for people to get registered to vote under the current law, which is easier to get registered to vote under, quite frankly. But the new law is going to, like I say, add additional requirements that people are going to have when they go in to register to vote.
Now, can you briefly explain the biggest changes introduced by House Enrolled Act number 57 and why they concern the Sheridan County Democrats in particular?
You want to take that, Rob?
Yeah. One of the reasons is they're already adding requirements for stuff that already exists. People had to already affirm that that address was theirs. People already had to affirm that they were already in United States citizens. Matter of fact, a Wyoming driver's license, there is a very clear NR stamped on it that every registrar, election judge, needs to go through and see that that person is actually a qualified, eligible voter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just adding garbage on top of it.
Yeah. Now, supporters of this new law actually argue that adding proof of residency and citizenship is going to help protect election integrity. From your perspective, what is the potential downside to these requirements? And I guess I got another question on top of that as well, and that is, was there a lot of evidence that they had that there was voter fraud that would actually cause individuals to want to make this law?
The voter fraud numbers have been very, very low in Wyoming, less than 10, I think, in the last, what was it, 4 was the number we heard?
4 to 6 years.
Four, yeah. So they're very low. And of course, the concern is that the tighter you make these requirements, the more it might impact good Wyoming people that have perhaps lived here all their lives or most of their lives. And so that's one of our biggest concerns. But the residency requirements, we don't necessarily disagree with the residency requirement. We think people should be residents of Wyoming. We think they should be U.S. citizens in order to vote. Both Rob and I work as election judges during the election, and we both work as registrars. And so we're paying very close attention to those things and making sure that the people that are coming through the door are indeed people that are eligible to vote.
Yeah.
So we think the process that exists now is a good process. It's one that's worked, and I think we are catching people that should not be voting already. The additional requirements that have been added on really create more for the potential voter who's going to have to bring in all sorts of documentation than in the past they haven't had to have. So, for instance, for residency requirements, they may need to bring in a utility bill. They may need to bring in other documentation that proves where they're at, that they live at this address. In the case of people that maybe are homeless, they'd have to have some documentation from a social service agency that they have a place to live. Also, people living in nursing homes, that makes it more difficult because they don't actually have a home, but they're living in the facility and there needs to be documentation of that. So it adds additional requirements to the voter to prove that they can vote, whereas, honestly, I think the existing law is covering that already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So say like a veteran living at the vet's home up the road here, how would they produce documentation? Do you guys even know?
This is a hard issue from vets to truck drivers to our large population of Wyoming transient workers is to produce this stuff. And also another burden is that we do still have same day registration and during the elections. And when you have almost a good portion of your people kicked off the rolls, people address changes that are pretty quickly, you know, their driver's license hadn't caught up to those resident requirements and stuff like that. But in the by Wyoming statute and in the voter registration form, the burden is on the voter to attest that this information that they're getting that election judge is correct as far as the change of address, the change of name, and so forth. But this obviously puts more back on the election judge to go through all this paperwork, whatever, and try to file and get people to vote in a timely manner.
Yeah. Rob, how long would you say the average voter took to register when he came to your table back before this change?
It varied,
but two to five minutes.
Two to five minutes. Do you think that this is going to tack on, what, 7-8 minutes?
Yes.
To have to go through all of this documentation?
Well, and that's assuming they have the documentation. That's assuming people know, which is part of why we want to get the word out. If somebody shows up and all they have is their driver's license, and they have to go back to their home to get a utility bill or whatever.
Because they've been doing this for 50 years.
Yeah, this is how it's been. And so that's the concern, is that we may lose voters in the process because, you mean I have to go back 5 miles to my house or whatever to pick up something? I don't have the time. I got to get back to work or whatever. They may just give up on voting.
And a lot of people are already taking their lunch hour to get this done.
Right.
They're, you know, kind of last minute doing this.
Right.
And a lot of us do that.
We've got things we've got to do.
So I'm just going to pop on down and vote. But now what was going to be 15, 20 minutes is 45.
Right. Could be longer.
Could be longer because I got to go to the house and get everything else.
Right.
And so what are some of the documentation? Do you have examples of what these...
About the new documentation?
Yeah, what these... The kinds of documents that may be difficult to obtain or have in your back pocket when you do go to register to vote now.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
Well, within the following items must be current and dated in the last 30 days of registration: utility bill, bank statement, government checker's pay stub, paycheck or pay stub, mortgage payment, housing verification from the college itself. Because a lot of times when people show up now with their driver's license, they may have a P.O. box. I know I did for years because I didn't know exactly where I was going to land moving. And but then I would attest in the registration form that I lived at, this is my permanent residence at 1304 Wayside or whatever.
Yeah, mm-hmm. wherever that was at the time. Right,
right,
Rob?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it could have been in the KOA campground
yeah.
mm-hmm.
for a while. But these people should, eligible voters should be able to vote. And yeah. I think this is just throwing constant obstacles to keep people, new people or people that have reawoken to their ability to vote
yeah.
out of the polls.
From coming in and getting
yeah.
it done.
Yeah.
Especially when, you know, we've had a system that's worked and has been catching those folks that should not be be voting. So... Yes, I mean, it's just adding more burden. Well, and then the other thing I want to say is for the vast majority of people who have not had changes and are registered to vote, they're probably okay. If you haven't moved since the last election, if you voted in the last election, if you, you know, if there's been no change to your name, such as marriage or divorce or whatever, you're probably okay. And the one thing you can do is call the county and just make sure that you're still on the rolls. But if you are somebody that's had a change in status, like I've mentioned, or maybe you've turned 18 since the last election, this law will apply to you if you wait until tomorrow or after to get registered to vote. Hmm. So we're just encouraging people to really get registered as soon as possible. Don't wait until election day. Try and do it sooner and make sure that you're on the rolls.
Now, you mentioned that only 44% mm-hmm. of eligible voters actually participated in the
eligible,
election.
Yeah. Eligible That's, citizens, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think is behind that low turnout, and how are you guys working to change that?
This is a national problem.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
just a Wyoming problem. Yeah. And we don't have a magic wand. I mean, a lot of us have it even in our own families.
Yeah.
The obstacle of not them even belonging to another party, but it simply not being out there, not realizing that these elections matter. People are making decisions about them and their lives, and they're not saying anything. They're not participating. Even if you're participating in losing side, you're still sending a message.
Yeah.
And I don't think this is... So we don't have a magic wand on that. We're working and struggling with it. But we're definitely not engaged in a campaign to keep those people from voting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, your team's been working on, quote, get out the vote
right.
campaign
right.
Ahead of tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah.
What are some of the strategies that you've been using? And have you seen any evidence that it's been successful so far?
Well, go ahead. You look like you want to say something.
Feedback from the county clerks and so forth is there has been some thumping of an uptick. A lot of people that were discouraged with the system now are registering to vote simply based with groups like No Labels,
right?
Unaffiliated. But that also takes them out of the primary. Mm-hmm. And that also makes it very difficult for us to recruit candidates for them to get excited about or get interested in if we don't have a good voter base.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like independents here in the state of
yeah.
Wyoming, mm-hmm. we don't get to vote in the primaries.
Right.
We're just kind of in the general.
Right.
Yeah.
Where
right.
we get to have our voices heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, can you walk us through what someone should do today?
Today.
Before July 1st, if they're unsure about that registration status?
Well, the first thing I'd encourage them to do is to call the county election office and just ask what the status is of their voter registration. If they know that they need to get registered, I would certainly encourage them to go down to the county elections office and get registered today. Yeah. The folks down there are very accommodating, certainly will walk them through the process, and it's very easy. It's a 5 or 6 minute process. So I would encourage them to do that. And then if people can't get down there today and they have to wait until after tomorrow, not only can they go to the county election office, but the county election office is also holding Third Thursday booths after hours all summer long. So people can get registered there as well. So if you have to work all day, you can't get time off at 5 o'clock, you could go down to Third Thursday and hit up the county election office folks and they could get you registered. Yeah.
Just make sure you've got all that documentation.
Just make sure you got the documentation.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, I would definitely after today is have a valid Wyoming driver's license or ID or one of the other currently acceptable IDs, and have some proof of residency. Mm-hmm. Like that. But the first stop would be a call to the county clerk, mm-hmm. and they can direct you to the elections office.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. On that, I'm going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with our Sheridan County Democrats right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to Compass Center for Families.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit eFirstFederal.bank, member FDIC.
The Sheridan Farmers Market is back for another great season at Whitney Commons Park. You'll find local produce, meat, eggs, coffee, baked goods, and outstanding locally handcrafted items this Thursday and every Thursday from 5 to 7 p.m. through September 18th. See the best our hardworking local producers have to offer at the Sheridan Farmers Market, Thursday evenings in Whitney Commons Park, sponsored in part by Sheridan Media. And remember, please leave your pets at home.
At Sheridan Funeral Home, we are experienced and skilled professionals who will guide you through your time of loss, listen to your needs and wishes, and take care of every detail. Hi, this is Carrie Kimmel. We have deep roots in the Sheridan community. We take pride in being able to lighten the burden as you take the first steps toward healing following your loss. Your needs and wishes are what matter most. Visit SheridanFuneral.com. Sheridan Funeral Home and Cremation's compassionate service for the Sheridan community.
The weather is perfect and garage sale season is in full swing. Every weekend, bargain hunters are hitting the streets, and guess where they're searching for the garage sales? SheridanMedia.com's garage sale page. It's the third most overall visited page all year long. Why not advertise your business on the garage sale page in front of thousands of eager shoppers? Get on the garage sale page and turn their treasure hunt into your own chest of gold. Contact us today at 672-7421 to lock in your spot today. Space is limited.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting. With me, Sheridan County Democratic State Committee Woman Tracy Sparks Campbell and County Democratic Vice Chair Rob Davidson. If you're just joining us, the Sheridan County Democratic Party is speaking on House Enrolled Act Number 57. This is resulting in changes to the Wyoming voter registration requirements effective July 1st tomorrow. Now, you've noted that newly eligible 18-year-olds and those with some name changes mm-hmm. or some lapse in voting records could particularly be affected here.
Yeah.
Why is it important that these specific groups act right now?
Well, because the law changes tomorrow. So today would be a day to get registered under the old law. Once you're registered, then you're in. So we're just encouraging folks to do that today. If you wait, then obviously there's going to be more documentation and more requirements that you would have to come up with when you register to vote.
But if I get down there, I get my name on that list today, mm-hmm. I can use the old law and kind mm-hmm. of sidestep
yeah.
the new one.
And so long as there's no changes after today, you're good.
And yeah. a lot of kids have turned 18. They're probably yep. really looking forward to their opportunity
Absolutely.
To have their voices heard.
Absolutely. And what we want to make sure is that, you know, you can wait until election day to vote if you want, I mean, to register. But what we encourage folks is there's no reason why you can't do it today. Get it behind you. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, how are you reaching people in those affected areas, such as the young voters mm-hmm. or people who have maybe been purged from the roles? And in saying that, maybe one of you can explain just exactly what a purge is
yeah.
for me real quick.
Well, the state has a requirement to purge the rolls after, I don't know, every election year, is it?
Right. If, yeah. if you did not vote in, say you voted in 2016, but you did not vote in 2018 in the general election, then after a few months, you are dropped from the rolls.
They just basically say, well, they didn't come in.
So. Right, that's and that is reported to the Secretary of State.
Right.
And what it does is they basically renew that voter list every after every election.
Okay.
It's like you didn't exist. There may be records that, yeah, you voted at one time because, no, both parties use those records to track who people dropped registration or changed or whatever. Yeah, but you don't exist because really when you go into, if you've been dropped or your name change or address change, you are basically filing a whole new form. It is a re-registration. Mm-hmm. It isn't just amending an existing registration. It is a whole new registration.
From the ground up, basically.
From the ground up, that double-sided form, or that single-sided form, it starts all over.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing about that we want to stress is that there are people that choose to only vote in the primary elections and not vote in the general elections. Well, if you don't vote in the general elections, then there's a good chance you're going to be purged from the voter rolls. That's the voter list that the Secretary of State looks at.
Yeah, okay. So, and I've worked in both. I've worked in Johnson and Sheridan County, both as an election judge and in the county board. And we always have people that are just, I voted last, well, you voted in September or August, but you didn't vote in November. So you got dropped.
Mm. So they're going by one list, really.
Yeah.
They're not looking at the other one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And kind of the first part of that, how are you reaching some of these, like the young kids and things like that, the people who are finally saying, you know what, I'm 18, my voice can be heard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where do I go?
Well, we've done some things just within the community. The Third Thursday event certainly is an area where we can catch people. We were there last week. There have been some of the rallies that have been going on, the We the People rally. We had a voting booth there. Also the Pride event, we had a voting booth there. We also have put some ads in the paper, and we've done a whole lot on Facebook and Instagram. So there are other ways that we're trying to reach out to folks and get the word out.
Mm. And
then just word of mouth. I mean, you know, if we run into people and say, hey, are you 18? Why don't you think about getting registered to vote? So, yeah.
We did actually in 2014, 2016, actually try to do remote registration. But from resistance from the County Clerks Association, mm-hmm. our individual county clerk, we dropped that because there was even uncertainty, even if we had a notary and affidavit and swore to it.
Legitimacy.
It almost got like probationary registrations from the county clerk. And so it really wasn't practical. And so we decided just to work more closely with the county clerk. Mm-hmm. And then the county clerk did some outreach and may do more.
Yeah, they are doing it now. Yeah.
Yeah, like the Third Thursday. Mm-hmm. We're trying to encourage them maybe to send registrars into some of these institutions like the VA, if allowed, or into some of the nursing homes, which would be great. And that's one of the things we're trying to do, too, is coordinate people.
And I'm going to go kind of off our question list here that I created. And the reason being is because I've got so many brothers and sisters deployed right now.
Right.
Yeah.
They're not in country. And,
right.
and a lot is changing while they're away.
Yeah.
It's, you know, they can vote while deployed.
Right.
Right.
But if they're not registered, mm-hmm. what can they do?
There is a the Army or some of the armed services have a program for them to do. They have at least some address, home address, maybe possibly with the service. Maybe one of their former bases or some home base in a sense. My understanding is the Pentagon has had offices for those people to be able to register remotely.
Okay.
I don't know how it's done, but that's my understanding.
That they actually have someone designated to get in
there is some service within the armed forces for them to be able to do that.
Okay.
To facilitate them getting back, reaching back and getting registration.
All right. The reason I bring that up, we got one of the largest deployments in
yes, we do.
In many, many years. going on right now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And two of Wyoming's largest units. And I know that the majority of those soldiers mm-hmm. want their voices
That's
heard.
Right.
Now, there is, before I let you go, we are running out of time, but I did just want to touch base on this. There's currently a lawsuit right. challenging the constitutionality right. of this. What's your understanding of that case, and how are you advising voters to navigate through this uncertainty right now? How can this thing become law, and yet it's being challenged?
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts with it right now. So when the law was, when this became an enrolled act, then they had to create rules as to how they were going to implement this. And those went out for public comment, gosh, mid-May, maybe? Anyway, they went out for public comment. The public comment period ended June 20th. And now where we're at is that has to be all dissected and figured out which rules apply and which ones don't. The other part of this is that there's now a lawsuit going on. The lawsuit isn't going to change the implementation of this law, nor is it going to change the implementation of the regs or the rules. So people just need to know, for now, this is the law, and we need to move forward. If the lawsuit changes that, and lawsuits can take years,
yeah.
then we'll change it. But at this point, this is the law, and this is what we need to adhere to.
Okay, so we're going to stick to the law right. while they all stand
Sort
in a
out.
Room and yell at each other for a little while. Is there anything else you would like voters to know about House Enrolled Act number 57 before I let you go?
I would encourage people to read up on it. I certainly would let them, you know, see what they think about it. But certainly it's the law now, and we want people to know what the changes are. This is really more of a community service effort on our part to get the word out, public service kind of effort, because we want to see people register to vote, regardless of party. We want to mm-hmm. see them register to vote and to exercise their right to vote.
Yeah. Rob?
Last thing is, please understand that any of these obstacles they throw in are not insurmountable, and it doesn't take that much to get around them to get in there and vote. So if you're interested in voting, curious about it, just get in there and do it, because they haven't made it impossible. They're not going to throw an armed guard in front of the door. They still have to let you register to vote. Do it.
All right. Yeah. Get it while you can, and it's more important now than ever. I want to thank you both so much for coming in and speaking with me this morning, making people aware that this is happening and letting them know it's still attainable. You mm-hmm. get in there, just make sure you've got the right documentation, get it taken care of. And that's as of tomorrow. Today, you can still get in there and use the old law, folks. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's going to get a little crowded down at the courthouse today. I'd like to see that happening. Thank you both.
Thank you.
All right. When we return, we're going to speak with CHAPS Equine Assisted Services. Stay with us. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to Compass Center for Families.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Saddle Ridge Rehabilitation Center at Westview is your only Medicare 5-star rated and state deficiency-free rehabilitation facility in Sheridan County. It's where quality matters every day. We're here for all of your inpatient and outpatient rehab needs. We treat you like family in a beautiful country setting. Call us at 307-673-3734 for more information and to schedule a tour.
Looking to start a business or take your hobby to the next level? Synergy Shop Aminiums is the answer. Need a toy box for your classic rods? Business location that needs parking and easy access for van or truck traffic? Got a service like taxidermy or sporting goods that need a storefront, counter, and storage in the back? Synergy Shop Aminiums are customizable spaces designed for trades, small businesses, and your hobby dreams. High ceilings, large bay doors, and owner-friendly build-ins located near everything. Reserve yours at Sheridan Realty Associates.
This is Ken here at Prime Rate Motors. We understand everybody's situation is different. We have helped people get into the car they need by numerous ways. You may need to downtrade for lower payments. You may wish to trade in more than one car. Prime Rate Motors will accept trade-ins on trailers, tractors, campers, even four-wheelers. So let us help you get into a premium pre-owned vehicle that is exactly what you want and need. Here at Prime Rate Motors and Super Trailer Store on Sheridan's Coffeen Avenue or PrimeRateMotors.com.
Celebrate the 4th of July with family, friends, and your country neighbors with fireworks. Whiz Bang Fireworks is now open with a huge selection of fireworks. High 500 milligram display cakes, multi-shot reloading artillery shells from bottle rockets, Roman candles, missiles, fountains, cones, bigger and better assortment packs. Whiz Bang Fireworks will get your 4th of July off to a big bang. Whiz Bang Fireworks is now open daily, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. on North Main Street behind Pizza Hut. Please follow all local laws.
I'm Aaron Lagaki, owner of Moss Holders Design Center. And if you've listened to Sheridan Media Stations anytime since the 1980s, you've probably heard our name. That's four decades of staying connected to our customers because radio works. It builds trust and keeps us in people's homes, cars, and their conversations. If you're running a local business and not using Sheridan Media, you're not just missing opportunities, you're handing them to someone else. Trust me, radio is worth it.
This public service message is presented by BHJ Property Management at 101 South Main.
Are you the kind of person who loves a good puzzle, keeping things running like clockwork, and thrives in the middle of the action? The Hub on Smith is looking for a transportation specialist, aka dispatcher extraordinaire, to help keep our wheels rolling and our community connected. You'll be the friendly voice on the phone. You'll coordinate rides with heart and precision. Communicate with our awesome team of drivers. Be a hero behind the scenes. CAPE optional. Apply today. www.thehubonsmith.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, I'm joined by CHAPS Equine Assisted Services Executive Director Kristen Marcus and board member Aubrey Helton. Did I say that name right?
Yes, you did.
Okay, fantastic. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome back.
Good morning.
How are you guys doing?
We're here.
It's Monday, right? Holy cow.
It's a Monday.
I sound out of breath. I've been running up and down those stairs. How have things been out of CHAPS, Kristen?
Oh, so busy. So busy. We have processed right at 200 applications this year. So wow. Far, we're not even halfway through. I mean, well, this week we'll be halfway through our year. And last year, we served a total of 309 individuals. So we're on board to break yet another service record for our organization this year.
Wow. And how many folks you got out there helping you get through?
We have 5 full-timers and 2 part-timers.
Ooh. Is that enough?
No.
Never is, right? Never
no.
is. All right. On July 26th, I know this is a big event that a lot of people are looking forward to, myself and my wife included. The Knights of Valor, they're returning to compete in Sheridan during the one-day medieval festival that's going to benefit CHAPS Equine Assisted Services. This event gets bigger and bigger every year, Kristen.
It does, yes. And we've strategically planned it that way so that as we grow, one, we can grow slowly enough to pay for everything, but two, so that we can eventually get into a 2-day thing. But this is our main fundraiser for the year. So we're trying to, you know, plan it to where it's going to bring in more and more each year, because right now we need the scholarship funds. We're going through a little over $16,000 in scholarship funds every month.
Wow.
Because that's how many people who are very low income, are veterans or have proven financial hardship.
Yeah. Yeah. And they need that help.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been, I love the scholarship program. And so this primarily will be going towards that.
Absolutely. Yep.
All right. How's everything going regarding the planning?
Well, that's
there
part of why we're
laugh,
here.
Right?
Yeah. Yep. So Aubrey is in charge of all of our cast members and actors for the event. So we want people who are in costume and interacting with the people And I'm going to let her talk a little more about it because that is not my realm. I have so many other circuses I run. I gladly hand this one off to her.
Aubrey, when it comes to the actors, is this kind of like a medieval, what do they call it? Like a Ren Fest where yes. everyone's got to kind of stay in character?
Kind of. Well, so it's definitely Renaissance Fair, very much like that. We have pretty much all the hallmarks of a Renaissance Fair. We have our medieval market, the joust, or other events, and so we need cast members to go along with that. It's kind of making the kingdom, building it from the foundations, so just having people who we can interact with, you know, with our public and so forth. Definitely important to have people. I mean, I wouldn't say, like, it's not strict.
Yeah.
You can talk in an accent if you want to, or in, like, just regular. Doesn't matter. Mostly we're looking for people who want to have fun with this, who are nerds. We need our nerds, please. We're looking for people who enjoy Renaissance fairs, Dungeons and Dragons, LARPing, or just theater in general.
About how many?
That's a very good question. Probably we would love to see around, I would say, 5 to 15 cast members. We want to have this grow, like Kristen said, slowly. We want to build a good foundation so that eventually, yes, this can be a 2-day event and our cast members then don't get burnt out.
Yeah.
So currently what we're looking for, I would say specifically, would be we're looking for a sheriff. We need a sheriff of Nottingham.
Oh, wow.
And we need his men to enforce the law and send people off to the pillory for, you know, shenanigans. We need nobles, pretty much anybody at this point in time who's interested in being any sort of fun character.
Town crier.
Aubrey's going to be yes. our town crier.
Oh, okay. You're going to be the town
yes,
crier.
Yes, I am. My role is Lanwi. I am the herald mage of our queen. I'm an intern.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's just something as simple and fun as that. It's not very serious. We're also offering improv classes, workshops, as well as accent classes.
Oh, wow.
If you'd like to speak in a British accent, I can teach you how to do that very easily. We're also doing costuming workshops and so forth. That's a lot of pretty much all of that stuff I do with our other wonderful person. Her name is Mero, and she is very much in the Civic Guild. And she is our improv side of things on the accent side of things. And yeah, it's wonderful.
How fun is that? What a cool job.
It's a lot
job.
Of fun. Oh, yeah, I enjoy it. I have a lot of fun with it.
So you're looking for 5 to 15 individuals.
Yes.
To come down there. They're yep. going to be able to take improv classes to, yep. to act a little bit better if they haven't got a handle on that.
Yeah.
So there's no reason to be afraid if you haven't done this before, folks. They'll give you some tips and techniques on how to do it.
Yes.
And you can help me make my costume.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So I was a part of the SCA, it's a Society for Creative Anachronism. And one thing I was taught is how to make a super simple tunic and pants. And then a lot of it is accessories from there. Renaissance fairs are better with layers.
Yeah.
So layering your costume, but having super simple basic pieces. But I can teach you that or show you how to thrift pieces or even go onto Amazon and find simple pieces there.
Yeah. Yeah. You can come out looking pretty good.
Like... yeah,
she was our queen last year and looked amazing.
That's fantastic.
Well,
did you make your own gown?
Well, no, because it was very, very sophisticated. So I was able to get most of what I needed off of Amazon, but a lot of these styling tips, because I've been doing Renaissance fairs for I think over 10 years now, and so a lot of what I know is what I've seen from other Renaissance fairs or helped out at other Renaissance fairs.
And we've got a lot of places around here where you can go and make some pretty amazing stuff nowadays.
Yes.
I mean, that can, some I people, mean, this is an entire hobby.
Mm-hmm.
This
oh,
is
very
what
much
they do.
So. Yes, it's a lot of fun. I mean, we went to the Montana Renaissance Fair, some of my friends and I made my own staff for the first time. And a lot of that was tutorials. And it was so simple. So it's just, you know, being creative, letting your fun, nerdy side out and just, you know, having fun.
And having fun with
yes.
it. I think that's probably
biggest thing.
The big goal right
this
there.
This is not have a fun. Serious affair. This is a fun affair. We are doing shenanigans. There are rumors afoot. We're having fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, speaking of rumors and what we might see there, Kristen, what's on the agenda this year? What are we going to see?
I am so excited for this year. We have some additional entertainment. So we have a young lady named Magpie Swallows who's going to come do some musical acts for us on the market stage. We have the amazing AJ returning because he is amazing.
The court wizard.
He's amazing. Yes.
And but we also have the Pillage people come in to make some music for us, which is going to be pretty awesome as well.
The Pillage people.
Right. Isn't their name awesome? They're out of Gillette. They're fantastic. And what else? We have a watermelon eating contest for adults this year. We've decided the liability on a young person is too much. So yeah. Adults only for the watermelon eating contest. And then we'll have a wood chopping contest. So if anybody wants to come show off their muscles or their skill, it would be really greatly appreciated to join the competition.
Need some berserkers and brutes, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, definitely.
We also have battle archery is coming back with a little better battlements to hide behind and whatnot. We got some old Christmas trees donated to us, so it's actually going to look like a forest. And we have put a lot of time and energy and money into the Queen's Feast this year for decor and feel. We've also put a lot of time and effort into the decor for the rest of the place to try and still trying to make it, you know, more medieval, really give the feel of it. But for the most part, obviously the headliners are the Knights of Valor, and they're going to be back for their full combat jousting. And I know I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. They're the only full combat jousting troop in North America. And so they do not have the cuts in their joust sticks, lances, I guess they're called. They do not have the cuts in there so that they shatter and make pretty big breaking noises. These things are solid.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
When they hit each other and then they knock each other off the horse, you know it is with the full force of a 2,000-pound horse and a however many hundreds pounds of guy with 125 pounds of armor hitting you straight in the chest, and you come flying off your horse.
Oh, it was wonderful. Last year, I think two of them, was it the last bout?
Very
two
last pass.
Two of them came together, and they smacked, and both of them flew off, and it was beautiful to see
simultaneous
that.
And horsing.
Oh, yes.
That's amazing. Wonderful. Matter of fact, I think I remember you telling me about that. That it was just intense, the way that those two went out there.
It was awesome, yeah. So the first guy came off really quickly, and the second guy, he tried to hang on. He really did, but he ended up hitting the ground, too. It was pretty epic.
It is a heck of a thing to see, folks. If you've never witnessed this, it always kind of made me wonder why it kind of lost its popularity as a sport, I guess.
Well, you know, so many broken bones in a year. I'm thinking that might be something to do with
it. I think there was a couple kings who ended up losing their lives throughout history as well, just out there playing around.
Yeah, severely shortening them, like every the eighth.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so if folks do want to jump in this, they want to be a part of this, what do they need to do?
They need to go online to chapsyo.org and fill out the volunteer application. And so that'll be on it's pretty much on every page if you want to be a volunteer. And once you fill out that volunteer application, our volunteer coordinator, Natalie, will get a hold of you and then join in the meetings and join in the classes and then have a great day on July 26th.
That's fantastic. And I know there's a lot of great actors in this town because
absolutely.
I've talked to a lot
of
them. And I would love to see them out there really selling their performance, you know, people who know what they're doing out there. But even if you don't, even if you're like, you know, I kind of want to dip my toe into this, but it's not something that I've done in the past, you can get some classes, and you can take those classes, not just in acting, but also making your own costume, and go forth and do wonderful things in the future. Now, there is a big raffle. Let's talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
This is the big prize.
Yeah, so these funds are also going to scholarship funding. So we have two raffles going on right now. The first one is for a trip to the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo in December in Las Vegas this year.
Wow,
Right? And so I've never gone, so I don't know, but I've heard rumors that tickets are like $1,100 a piece. That's a lot, and those are usually in the nosebleeds. So we have two tickets on the balcony, which is just right above the arena. It's not down low where you're going to get obstructed by anything. It's not in the nosebleeds. It's right on the balcony, full view of everything. And you get 2 days at the Wrangler NFR. You get to choose your dates between the 7th and the 11th of December. Then you also get into Cowboy Christmas for those 2 days. You have 3 nights in a 4-star resort on the Strip. And the hotel is within walking distance of all the free activities for the NFR.
Holy goodness.
So all the parties and everything like that that you want to get into, you would be able to walk right there. So it's a pretty cool deal. The tickets are $100 a piece. And we're going to do the drawing at the Joust on July 26th. You don't have to be present to win. And we're just hoping that we can raise enough money to put more funds into the scholarship coffers. Because like I said, over 16,000 every month for scholarships right now. That's a lot. And it goes
fast. Incredible. It's an absolute incredible
amount. Yeah, which is almost double of what we did last year every month.
Yeah.
Almost double. Not quite, but close. So, yeah, it's been a bit of a surprise this year with the numbers of people coming out of the woodwork, which is incredible. And we're really grateful. We're really grateful to all of the people who come out and volunteer and sponsor and do all of the things. But, you know, we still have to get those scholarship funds. So this trip raffle was one of the things. The other trip is it's a little more exotic. So we have the winner will get to choose from one of 8 destinations. So one of them is Iceland for a Northern Lights tour and also a swim in the Blue Lagoon and different things. And for 4 days, 5 nights in Reykjavik, I think, at a 4-star resort. And then another one is 6 days, 7 nights in Northern Ireland. If you're a Game of Thrones fan, you'll get to visit the set, two sets of the Games of Thrones. One is an abbey, and then the other one is Tally Park, I think. But you also get to go to Dunluce Castle, and you get to go to the Giant's Causeway, two of my most favorite places when I went to Ireland. And a whiskey tour, and your rental car is actually included in that one too, because all those things are not close. And then other destinations for that one would be Madrid, Vienna, Prague, Paris, or Rome.
Holy
and
cow.
Each one of those has a whole different experience with it too. Like, so if you choose Paris, you get to have a dinner cruise on the Seine River, and you get to go to the Eiffel Tower, and you get to skip the line and go through the Louvre and that kind of thing. Or if you go to Rome, you get to skip the line and go to the Sistine Chapel or the Vatican. And then there's all sorts of different things with the others. I don't honestly remember like Madrid and Vienna and Prague's. There's just too much in my head right now for that. But so they all have an experience. And then the last one to choose from, if you are a family and you win, then we have 2 days and 3 nights in California at Disneyland, where you get to go to Disneyland or California Adventure, or Disneyland and California Adventure. Plus, they'll give you money vouchers for food and souvenirs, and they put you in a 3-star resort just off Disney grounds.
Wow. Man, these are huge prizes.
So the only thing that's not included is your airfare. However, I have checked, and airfare to Las Vegas is cheap. It was like $400. And then for the trip one, the exotic trips, you have to book within 12 months of when you want to go, and then you have a year to go. So like if your name is drawn on July 26th of 2025, you have to book the trip by July 26th, 2026. And then you have until July 2027 to actually use the trip. So that's plenty of time, you know, to wrangle with the airfare.
Save it up and so forth.
Yeah, because you can't just rush off to Northern Ireland.
I mean, you could.
I would.
That's absolutely amazing. Now, how do folks take part in the raffle?
So chapsyo.org, it's right there on the homepage. You just scroll down just a little bit, and there's buttons right there for the NFR trip and for the trip raffle. And we're just calling it a trip raffle and then the NFR raffle so that folks know the differentiation. There's also tickets for the Joust right there.
Fantastic.
So if anybody wants to do that as well.
When it comes to attending kind of the Ren Fair the day of, or nights, mm-hmm. the Tournament of Nights the day of, am I going to be able to pick up tickets that day?
Absolutely.
Like, yep. We're not sure, but if we have the time, we'll run down there.
So tickets are available at the gate and, again, available on our website. We have adult tickets, so from 13 to adulthood, they are $20. 7 to 12-year-olds are $10. 6 and under is free. And then we also have tickets for the Queen's Feast on there, and we have combo tickets this year, and then we have discounted tickets for veterans as well.
That's fantastic. You know, this thing gets bigger every year. It gets better every year. I got to switch gears on you. I only got about a minute and a half left, but I just wanted you to be able to throw this in there. Tell me about the August 22nd retreat at Deer Haven Lodge.
Oh, our veteran retreat. This is really exciting. This will be our fifth or sixth one now since 2020. And we're taking a group of veterans up to Deer Haven Lodge for horse time, fishing, hiking, group time. We're hoping that veterans talking to veterans will join us as well. And we have a campfire every night. It's a great weekend to unplug, meet some new people, have some great discussions, but also work on some of those coping skills and getting out into nature and putting some peace into a troubled mind.
Absolutely. And I'm here to testify to that. Me and the wife even managed to get out this weekend, and we just took 5 minutes to close our eyes and just listen to the world around us. And it was therapeutic, my friend. I'll tell you what. Still room for vets to join on that?
Yes. And actually, the application hasn't come out yet. It should be up on our website probably next week. This week, I had a federal grant that took over everything. So I should have it up on the website by next week.
All right, fantastic. The minute you get that up, you let me know, and we'll get the word out. Try to reach as many people as we possibly can, because I love that program, and I want to see full seats when everybody heads
up. One of these days, you need to join us.
One of these days. One of these days, I'll come around. Chris and Aubrey, I would thank you both so much for coming in, taking time out of your busy schedule. And boy, it sounds busy. But busy is what we want.
Right? That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
The Board of Directors of First Federal Bank and Trust is proud to announce DJ Dearcorn as our new president and CEO-elect. DJ will take over from current CEO Kevin Bailey, who will be retiring in January.
DJ has built a reputation of strong leadership, integrity, and commitment throughout his many years with First Federal.
As DJ, our management team, and staff lead us forward, we're excited for the future and grateful for the trust of the communities we serve.
First Federal Bank and Trust. Community commitment. Lifetime legacy. Member FDIC.
The following message is presented by Century 21 BHJ, 101 South Main.
Looking for fun this summer? Come play with us. Hi, this is Nora with the Food Group. Come join us for stories and snacks Monday through Friday from 11 to 11:30 at the Palmer Public Library. Listen to a story while enjoying a free snack. Weekend food bags will also be available in entryways of all schools in Sheridan, including the junior high and high school, every Wednesday and Thursday from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., June 4th through August 14th.
At Sheridan Media, excellence is our standard, and the Wyoming Association of Broadcasters agree. We're thrilled to announce a sweep of recent awards, including Tommy and Bell for Best Radio Show, Kevin Coyle for Best News Reporter, and Aaron Linden for Best Station Promo. We also took first place for Best Photography and second place for Best Online Video. Our Active Reload podcast, Best Sports Reporting, and Play-by-Play with Aaron Legaki. Steve Sisson won for his 90s at 9. We're especially proud that KWYO was selected Station of the Year and Julie Chadwick for Account Executive of the Year. Experience the best local media in Wyoming. Experience Sheridan Media.
Think you've got serious bass skills? Then prove it. Connect Home Center and Century 21 BHJ Realty present Fish Your Bass Off on SheridanMedia.com. Snap and upload your best fishing photo for a shot at $600 in prizes. That's right. Fish all summer and show us your catches. Enter now on the contest page at SheridanMedia.com. So grab your gear, hit the water, and fish your bass off.